Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
This Ween Wednesday has breaking news. The St. Louis Blues have fired Ken Hitchcock. Just happening within the last few moments. Mike Yeo's tenure as the head coach of the St. Louis Blues will begin earlier than expected. Just moments ago, Blues general manager Doug Armstrong announced that Ken Hitchcock has been relieved of his duties as head coach. Yeo, who was hired last summer as associate coach and was to take over as head coach of the Blues next season, was promoted effective immediately. This decision comes as the Blues have lost five of their last six and went 5-8 in the month of January. We're going to be joined by Kelly Chase in as quickly as he can be with us. And I know Brad Lee is going to be with us. And this will be the focal point of our discussion now on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, is this news just breaking within the last 5 minutes. The Blues have fired Ken Hitchcock. The Cat, your reaction?
Well, we just talked about it this morning. I think the Blues had kind of put themselves in a position where they had to do something. They're in the playoffs as it stands right now, and they'd like to stay there, and they have limited options as to what they can do to try to shake things up. So it seemed obvious to me that this was one of the options. I think Hitchcock did a very good job while he was here. I think the deck was kind of stacked against him this season, having lost some key guys from last year's team that made the push forward, and he was never able to get it going on a consistent basis, especially after the early season when they were very good. So I'm not surprised by this, but I don't put it all on him either.
Doug, your reaction to the firing of Ken Hitchcock?
Well, he's such a good guy. I hate to see it happen to him personally. You know, if it weren't the last half of his last season here, it wouldn't hurt quite so much. You know, if he was a younger guy that still had a lot of career still ahead of him, I would think, well, you know, it happens to all of them. At one point, he'll bounce back. Just from a personal level, I feel sorry that it happened.
I think he'll, at the least, be in someone's front office, but probably coach again. You know, it was early on, it was discussed when they brought Yeo in that he was going to retire, and that I don't think that's the case at all. But, you know, it's a performance-based industry, and they're on a losing streak. They had to do something. But the truth is, they lost a couple of key guys, really a few guys, if you throw Elliott into the mix. And the team, outside of a really good start to the season, couldn't keep it going. So I don't think they had many options as to what to do.
Your thoughts are welcome. Breaking news this morning. Ken Hitchcock fired by the St. Louis Blues. Mike Yeo takes over. Immediately, your thoughts are welcome. 855 Cub Talk. That's how you can text in. It's how you can email in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Hot Shots email of the day. And of course, call in 855 Cub Talk. Kelly Chase going to be with us. Brad Lee of St. Louis Game Time going to be with us. And we will get the feedback of the audience here. Many people texting in. I'm telling you, completely unsolicited, because I don't even know if his name's been said in the segment. And you're probably seeing it. Oh, you're not on the text right now, the Cat. But it is a bunch of wrong guys. Should have been Armstrong. Why didn't they fire Armstrong? He assembled the roster and gave the awful contracts. The next text, fire Armstrong. He has put this team in a bind with this horrible contracts to subpar players. From the Oakville Hoosier. Wow, I didn't expect that. I'm a Hitchcock fan. The coach in waiting was a bad idea from the beginning. That's from the freshly squeezed lemon. Tim, you really are the show of record, and you really are the best. Thanks. It's nice to have those thrown in there. Sue Lord Twink Boy. Guys, is Mike Tatanka behind this? That's from Mr. Nipples. He did write a sound off letter on Sunday. Yeah. You see what happened.
He carries considerable juice in this market.
How in the F is Armstrong still employed? Can't get centers, can't judge goalies, but otherwise he's great. That's from the 618. From the 618, when does Jake Allen get fired? So that is the response so far. I put up a Twitter poll asking people if they are happy that Ken Hitchcock is out. 41 votes. I just posted it 2 minutes ago. 41 votes already in. 56% yes, 44% no. You can vote at T. McKernan on the Twitter tweets.
Well, I mean, the Blues haven't gotten to where they want to get, but they've been competitive, and last year was a successful playoff run outside of the goal of winning the Stanley Cup. So it's not like Armstrong hasn't done anything well. And the way it sets up, they brought in the head coach in waiting, Okay, they brought that in. Hitch said, I don't really feel comfortable on a one-year deal. So the team struggles, not all on Hitchcock. Certainly they've had defensive and goalie issues. You're not going to fire the GM. You're going to go and take the next step, which was going to happen anyway next year. You move in Yo as a head coach now. I mean, it makes sense to me. Again, they put themselves in a position where they have limited options as to how to try to shake things
up. From the 3-1-4, lose your three best players from the end of last year and then blame the coach.
Yeah, I'll second that. They had a horrible offseason. Yeah. They had just a horrible offseason.
I was so confused by what happened in the offseason. And I'm talking about multiple elements of that. It struck me as very clear that they were just downgraded drastically, which is usually not the way things work in most sports. It strikes me, maybe I'm wrong, when a team is on the threshold of getting to the Stanley Cup Finals, in this particular instance in the NHL, and then they take, what struck me as major steps backward. And I in the moment thought, boy, this coach in waiting thing is odd, especially when I was under the impression, and this isn't, from just one person, that there was a coach in waiting, except he left to go to the Canadiens. And I didn't understand that, and Kirk Muller. Mm-hmm. And I didn't understand that. So then the way it became coach in waiting with Yo, but then the cat would come in here and say before the season starts, like Hitchcock's saying, kind of away from the cameras, that he's like, yeah, I'm not sure I'm really retiring, but okay. So you just created a very odd dynamic.
Mm-hmm. And it might have worked had the Blues continued to win. That hides everything. But when things go south, then you're going to have more problems. And, they told us that the way you win in the playoffs is big guys going to the hard areas and standing in front.
Had
and
two of those.
And then those guys leave.
Let them go.
And then you change your... And I remember Kelly Chase saying, a few weeks ago before other people started saying it, I have a tough time figuring out what the identity of this team is.
Brad Lee writes for St. Louis Game Time. He is going to join us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines in a matter of moments. And Kelly Chase will be with us, brought to you by Petromart. That's at 8:30. And I know the Seamaster is working on other perspectives on this breaking news this morning. Just about 10, 12 minutes ago, are you happy the St. Louis Blues fired Ken Hitchcock? Let's see, Doug, we are now at a total of 160 votes, and we're still at that same margin, 54% yes, 46% no. Let's find out what Brad Lee of St. Louis Game Time thinks. He joins us now on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Brad, what is your reaction to this news?
I'm really surprised at the timing, and good morning, guys. Tomorrow night is Bob Plager jersey retirement night, and there's another thing where Hitchcock was tied with Al Arbor for fourth most coaching wins in NHL history. So there are two aspects of they're kind of taking away from Hitchcock moving up one spot in the coaching rankings and the excitement of honoring Bobby Plager for 50 years with the franchise and kind of taking away. I kind of thought if they were going to make a change, and judging by how they've played, last night especially, that they're going to make a change probably. I thought it might be Friday, but, why wait? I don't know. It seems like, and when we talked last week, it just seemed like they were waiting for something to happen. They needed a shakeup. They needed a change. Maybe it would have been the Shattenkirk trade. That hasn't happened. So you decide to make the change and change coaches and bring in Mike Yo and make him the starting coach.
To me, they box themselves in on this because right now you can talk about trading Shattenkirk, but the reality is you're not really going to get a guy who's an upgrade over Shattenkirk right now. You're probably going to get younger guys that will pay dividends down the road. Maybe that's a shakeup unto itself. I kind of figured that this was coming if they didn't straighten things out because they didn't have a lot of choices as to try to shake things up.
As the text line mentioned, why didn't they fire Doug Armstrong? He painted himself into a corner with some of these decisions where the contracts came up after the end of the season. Backus and Brouwer, like you're talking about, had great playoff runs and really worked themselves into bigger contracts than the Blues could afford. They boxed themselves in a corner with the goalie situation where neither guy was going to be happy if you kept both of them, and you really had to make a choice, and maybe they chose the wrong one. And then, you don't make the Shattenkirk trade at the draft or in the summer, and you really box yourself into a corner where you don't know what you're going to get and what people are willing to offer. And it's just been a couple decisions in a row where they put the decision off as long as possible, and then you kind of question, wow, that's what you really did? It's surprising.
And now, if they lose Shattenkirk and don't get a lot in return, and it looks like maybe Jake Allen may not be the goalie that they thought they were, the future doesn't look especially promising right now, does it?
Well, there are a couple contracts that I think Doug Armstrong probably regrets at the moment. You know, Jay Bouwmeester has a couple years left at $5.5 million. The Jori Lehterä contract over $4 million. And his was an extension, just like Jake Allen got an extension, where his $4.4 million contract for 4 years doesn't kick in until after this season, just like Alex Steen's contract doesn't kick in until after this season. They are going to have some large contracts dragging the whole salary cap down that are going to make some choices really difficult, where if you want to try to make some wholesale changes with the roster, it's going to be difficult.
Well, Brad, so, you know, it is what it is. Yo is the head coach. Maybe they trade Shattenkirk. Maybe they don't. I guess the Blues are hoping. And there were times it was pretty clear that Hitch ruffled the feathers of some players. Is there a chance that just by changing out the head coach that maybe there can be a spark? Because I think we would all agree that the Blues do have talent.
I think so. You know, just hearing a different message. You know, and it had to be bad chemistry to have the coach who's been around for a while, who can be kind of gritty and can be kind of annoying, you know, the way he handles his players and the way he wants the system run can be difficult under Hitchcock. And I don't think anybody is under any illusion that he can be a difficult guy to work for. And then you have his replacement just, you know, right there next to him. And it's easy to see where those relationships where the players could go to the assistant coaches and gripe and complain, and the assistant coaches might have a little bit different message.
Brad,
clearing all that up could really lift a fog over the team, and you might see some better direction and better team play, better organized, and everybody kind of going in the same direction now. There's definitely that possibility, and I think obviously that's what the Blues are hoping for, to clear up the situation and really get everybody on the same page.
Brad, there were a number of people when it happened wondering what was going on with Kirk Muller anyway, and now of course it's results oriented, but again, like I said, in the off season people were wondering about it, that okay, if there is a coach in waiting, it's Kirk Muller, who's now with the Canadiens as an associate head coach. With that whole thing, now I feel like that makes the whole move look even worse. Your feeling on that?
That's a very good point. I mean, you are bringing back the oldest coach in the league on another one-year deal, and you had a guy who had experience in Carolina. And I think you can say that in a lot of sports and a lot of situations, maybe a guy's second job as a head coach on a team is probably his best opportunity to really, you know, make his mark. You know, you've learned from your mistakes, and it's a new start, and maybe you're more motivated, and that's what everyone was kind of thinking with Kirk Muller. You know, you could say the same thing for Mike Yeo. I think there are so many different loyalties in play where maybe Kirk Muller didn't want to be the coach in waiting for a guy who he had worked for a while and who he had played for when he was a player. And I think, you know, maybe, you know, Shaw had been around for a long time and had been through two coaching changes, really. And maybe they just weren't comfortable with that situation. I kind of think those guys saw this kind of situation coming, where there was going to be, you know, difficulties in seeing the clear vision and communication on the team, and it was just going to be uncomfortable, and they didn't want to put themselves in the situation.
Brad, is this just me, or did the whole Ken Hitchcock wanting to retire story get a little bit misrepresented? Because early on, I was getting the feeling that he felt like he really was going to coach again or be around hockey in some capacity and wasn't necessarily riding off into the sunset.
It'll be interesting to see if he puts his name in the hat for the new Las Vegas franchise, because, you know, when you put an expansion franchise together for next season, you're going to have a defensive-oriented team. You're going to have a team with a lot of muckers and grinders and, you know, not the most skilled operation. And that's what Ken Hitchcock is good at, you know, putting together a defensive-minded team. You know, at age 65, he'll be 66. You know, is that something you really want to do? I don't know. There's a whole other aspect to this where we haven't really talked about it. Ken Hitchcock got divorced this past offseason. And, you know, his personal life is his personal life. And, you know, that's something that you don't really talk about as much. But, you know, things change and situations change. And maybe this is the best for everybody.
Would you anticipate some player movement now? I mean, it's too early to become sellers when you're still in the playoff race.
Well,
or is it?
Doug, it depends. I think it goes back to what is your vision for the team? Are you really going to go all out to try to win this season or next season? Or do you have the longer view of saying, you know, maybe this isn't our time and we need to restock a little bit? And maybe gear up for a serious run at a cup in a year or two. It all is down to what your vision is and what your goal is. And it's really hard to do both at the same time. Protect future assets and at the same time being committed to trying to win right now. And I think the Blues have been trying to do that where they've tried to not trade prospects and a lot of draft picks. But they still tried to win now, and it's hard to do both at the same time.
Random question, and totally hypothetical, of course, but if Troy Brouwer doesn't score in the third period of Game 7 and some of those pucks that were fired on net by the Blackhawks late in the third period of Game 7, one of those or two of those goes in, depending on where things are, is Kirk Muller the head coach of the Blues right now?
I think that's a great question, Tim. And I think yes, because... You know, it would have been, they'd been kicked out in the first round. That would have been 4 years in a row. And I don't think any Blues fan would have been obviously satisfied with that. And the frustration level of Blues fans would have been at an all-time high. And, you know, you have to think about ticket sales. You know, how hard of a ticket would it have been for the Winter Classic if they had done that? You know, all of that kind of came together, the excitement of the announcement of the Winter Classic and the playoff run, and that really kind of helped build up expectations for this season. And really, you know, like you were saying earlier, that led to expectations not being met with how they put the team together. And that just would have been a perfect storm of, you know, not doing it in the playoffs and having all these things come together at the same time. I think Kirk Muller would be that coach. Yeah, absolutely.
Final question for you, Brad. Now that it is in the books, albeit it's only 20 minutes old, the Ken Hitchcock era coming to a close in St. Louis. 10 years from now, what will the Hitchcock era legacy be?
I think he'll be credited with bringing the team back to prosperity. You know, before him, you know, they had Davis Payne, who was basically a stopgap. You know, Andy Murray was a taskmaster, and he got them back to the playoffs after rebuilding, after the team kind of bottomed out after the lockout and the sale of the team, and they got rid of Chris Pronger and they got rid of Pavel Dimitra. And the way things had been going, the team really was struggling to sell tickets. So Andy Murray got them to the playoffs, but then they struggled. They got rid of him. They brought Davis Payne up, who was the Peoria head coach. He was already under contract. They had cash problems. He was basically the cheapest alternative. But he didn't have a pedigree as a head coach. It was his first head coaching job. And there was a guy on the market in Ken Hitchcock who had a cup on his record, who had a longstanding relationship with Doug Armstrong back to their days in Dallas. And he brought them back to prominence. He got them past the first round twice. He got them to the playoffs every season as head coach and really got them in a position to being, you know, if you can say true cup contender, but at least a contender. They were in the mix and were dangerous. And I think people will see that, you know, yeah, he great regular season record, two division titles. They saw the third round once, and maybe they were lucky to do so. I don't know.
Bradley, St. Louis game time. They will be all over it. Blues and Leafs tomorrow. It's a Toronto team, of course, kind of a punchline in Canada, but the team that's playing pretty good hockey this year, and they will be here Bob Plager night, and it'll be Mike Yeo's first night as head coach of the St. Louis Blues. A big, big day in Blues history tomorrow night at the Scott Trade Center with the firing of Ken Hitchcock. 25 minutes ago following the loss to the Jets. Brad, thank you very much for jumping on with us, man. We appreciate your perspective.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity. I enjoy it. Thank you.
Bradley with us of St. Louis Game Time giving us his perspective on the firing of Ken Hitchcock. And as I said, so many texts are coming in that people understand it, but they feel like the guy who really is to blame is the general manager, Doug Armstrong.
So now, if my facts are straight here, the four winningest coaches in the history of the NHL are all former Blues head coaches. Scotty Bowman, Joel Quenneville,
Davis Payne, and...
Not Davis Payne.
Hair Davis Payne.
Not hair. It wasn't hair Davis Payne. I'm talking about Scotty Bowman. I'm talking about Joel Quenneville, Al Arbor, and Ken Hitchcock. Payne didn't make the list. Hair or no?
This sounds pretty arbitrary, kind of like Barrett's sports radio rankings.
They're not arbitrary. Those are the numbers.
From a personal standpoint, Doug, you've had a chance to talk to Hitchcock. He's a fascinating guy, really nice guy. He did a really good job while he was here. You know, whatever the decision, you know, is behind it, right or wrong, I feel bad for Hitch that it ended this way for him in St. Louis, because he was always great to deal with and did a very good job with the team.
You see how far they've fallen in less than a year to where everybody was talking about Blues hockey. That was huge here last May. Look how great we are. Boy,
even really
fun.
A month. I mean, what, 30 days since the Winter Classic? A true high point for this organization when you combine that weekend with the game, beating the Blackhawks, the atmosphere, the way St. Louis displayed to all of the fans around the NHL of what this city has, and then the team wins four more games the rest of the month. Hitchcock's last win will be against the defending champion Penguins. And then it's just an absolute debacle. They go 4-8 the rest of the way in the month of January, and it eventually did him in. Kelly Chase is a regular here on the radio program, and he is going to join us right now, brought to you by Petromart.
Hey, Blues fans, it's time to drop your gloves and face off on the St. Louis Blues Report with Kelly Chase. Fueled by Petromart, a proud sponsor of your St. Louis Blues. Now, here's Chaser.
And joining us right now with this breaking news regarding the firing of Ken Hitchcock, brought to you by Petromart, ladies and gentlemen, Kelly Chase. Chaser, good morning. Your reaction, sir?
Well, you know what? I think it was... I mean, you could feel it coming. I certainly think that about December 2nd, when the team started to kind of fall out of consistency, you know, you could just feel that there was things that, you know, weren't going well. And when you fall that far and you're running in night in and night out for the top spot in the league, and you decide that, you know, your team is, you know, got a chance, and all of a sudden you fall that far in the last 2 months. I think inevitably something has to change. I know that, you know, the Blues have tried to make a couple of changes, I think personnel-wise, with the players, and it didn't work out. So, you know, the next stop is the head coach, and unfortunately they just were not responding.
What are the chances that as the Blues look to get back on track, that a little shakeup like this can put them in the right direction, in your opinion?
Well, it'll be interesting to see if the systems change and how it changes now. I've never been in a situation where the coach has already been replaced the year before, and so it'll be this. I don't think anybody has, but this is an interesting dynamic. You know, I've had assistant coaches take over, but I've never seen where it's been announced and you kind of know what you're getting. So it certainly will be interesting to see what Mike Yeo has observed and what he's changing. But again, you know, I think this is on the players now, certainly, because the personnel has changed a lot from last year, and they've anointed some of the guys some responsibilities that they're not obviously capable of managing real well, and it's taken some of the wind out of the sails of other guys. But that being said, because you pay Schwartz, Steen, Tarasenko, whomever, and you can't afford to keep a Backes, Brouwer, and Ott, well, guess what? You know, now it's time for those guys that we talked about to step up. With, yes, unfortunately, Magnus Pajarvi, a guy that they gave a one-way contract to, isn't here, and Ty Ratty and Yashkin's not working out. And those are the spots that we're giving to the younger guys, and it's not working out. And they're trying to fill in with Yakupov, and that's not working. But I can tell you this. It's the responsibility of the older guys now that Hitchcock's gone to make sure that the play changes, because, you know, you can't pay Vladdy Tarasenko $8 million and expect he's going to be your best player every four games. He's got to be your best player every night. And that's just the way it's got to work, or they're not going to have success.
Chaser, I know it wasn't the goal, but when you name the head coach in waiting, you make a lame duck out of the current head coach, and sometimes that creates a bad situation. Was that an issue at all with the team, or is it just a question of, you know, bad defensive play and turnovers and then some goaltending issues?
Well, as of late, it's been tough to judge how good your team is, because the goaltenders just aren't, you know, I'm not putting it all on the goaltenders, because that's not fair. But I think what probably, you know, what Doug is seeing is the same thing everyone else is. It's the quality of chances that we're giving up. It's not the quantity of so much. And then how do you judge your team for the longest time when the goaltending just hasn't been where you expected, or where even the goaltenders expected to be? So when that starts to massify, all of a sudden everybody's going, holy man, what are these guys doing? Well, you know, they didn't play a bad hockey game last night. They backed in a little far. There were some goal mouth passes that shouldn't happen that, you know, were certainly obvious. But again, you know, a couple of goals that maybe, you know, Jake would like to have back, a bounce they'd like to have back. But at the end of the day, it comes down to wins and losses. And they weren't responding. And Doug's not about to sit there and watch this thing go out the window from where they started the season and say, look, you know, this just isn't, you know, so a change had to be made. And, you know, I'm sure he's going to, in his press conference, talk about, you know, the importance of it being on the older guys now. It wasn't working, and now we're changing the coach again. And, you know, hey, you only get so many bullets as a general manager to pull, and Doug's pretty responsible when it comes to when it was time to do it and what he thought was best for the team. It seemed to work, you know, with Davis Payne and what he did with Hitch, and now we'll see how this plays out.
How much of this do you think is on Armstrong as opposed to the coach?
Well, I think that's a pretty fair question. I think that, you know, Doug will take a lot of the responsibility. But, again, when you're managing in a cap era, you know, like I couldn't give David Backes what Boston gave David Backes. I mean, that I don't care, if, you know, what it is. I wouldn't have felt comfortable as a GM doing it. So, he's got to walk. And so that's a hole. That's a gap. So you're asking now, okay, well, Dmitry Yashkin, you're going to fill David Backes' shoes. And we've seen that hasn't been necessarily the approach. The Troy Brouwer one, I believe the Blues thought they were going to get Troy Brouwer signed, and it would have been a big asset to this team. Are they better with, you know, Troy Brouwer as opposed to maybe one of the other guys that they slotted in that position? Well, of course they would be. And I think they thought they were going to get that deal done. But with that being said, We need to, you know, we need to look at it and say, you know, what happened on it? It was TJ Oshie. He's a guy you know, if you're going to make a change, you got to get one of them signed. And man, he didn't get Brow signed, so he's probably disappointed that happened, I'm sure, too. But again, in a cap era, he still has to sign Schwartz. He still has to have money to do it. He knows what they're a day away from arbitration, what could happen. So you got to be careful on how you look at the Chicago Blackhawks. They know they have the top six of the guys that are there, but they've turned over their team twice now. They're having a lot of trouble winning hockey games because of the youth that they have on that team, and they just couldn't afford to pay the guys they needed to have that consistency.
It does feel like here in the last two or three weeks that defensively, they've just kind of fallen apart. Was that because they're changing a scheme or something, or is it just a kind of a general breakdown of the whole system?
Well, you know, I don't know the I think, as you said, I think there's some quality chances that are giving up now that they weren't accustomed to giving up. But I think that comes a little bit, again, I'm not throwing, you know, the goaltenders under the bus here too, but I've been in a situation where you don't have confidence as a team, and you start to change the way you play. You start to, sometimes some guys try to do too much. Other guys will, defend differently. And I think that's what we're seeing here. I think it's a team that lacks a lot of confidence. And listen, you guys, it's not been a secret. I've said this since the start of the year, the St. Louis Blues lacked an identity. You guys have heard me say it since the second week of the season. And what I meant by that was the young guys have got to grow into the positions, and then we'll see what we got. We're not overly fast, and we're not overly big. And you got to be one of those two to have an identity of how you're going to play. I mean, the guys in the last, 10 teams we've played have changed their tune from, oh, they're a big, heavy team. No, we're not. So, I think that being said, you got to allow your young guys to grow into an identity. And I've used Pittsburgh as an example. They did not have an identity last year at the start of the year. When the coaching changes were made, it changed a little bit. They brought up some of the young guys. The young guys grew into a role. I think that's what the Blues were hoping for, and I don't think some of those young guys have grown into the role. But now the change is made. This is on the older guys now to pull them out of this. I mean, Tarasenko, Steen, Stastny, those types of players have got to reach down and say, okay, this isn't good enough, and we're going to all have to be better as a group, this is going to go south, and we're not where we want to be at the end of the year.
You know, you said that you can't predict whether or not there's going to be a massive change in the system with Yo taking over, but do you anticipate we're going to see a different type of Blues team, one where they will establish some sort of identity now that the head coach has been relieved of his duties?
Well, I hope so, because they weren't buying into what Hitch was telling them anymore. So I would hope, and I'm pretty sure Mike's a smart guy, and I just look, there's so many things, there's monotony that comes in our lives and certainly in different spots. And I don't think I'd learned more from a structural standpoint as a guy that's around the team a lot than I have from Ken Hitchcock. I mean, structurally and technically, he's as sound as it could be. But I think I think there was just a couple of different tweaks that Hitch had in his coaching mentality that made him effective. And once you've kind of utilized them, it was not a lot of changes when it came to the system changing as the game went on. But I don't know, sometimes the Hitch's personality, like anybody, that it became, somewhat grinding between certain personalities on the bench. And I think that's where it was at. I don't recall, and I know Hitch has always been like that as a coach, so he's familiar with it and comfortable with it. But I don't think I remember since Keenan was here, guys and, having the altercations that they have sometimes, short spurt altercations of emotion with their coach like they do with Hitch, but he was okay with that. Like, he's a proud guy and a hell of a coach. It's just that I think there had to be a change made for because these guys weren't adapting to what needed to happen for them to be successful anymore. And if you can't get the guys to get out of the funk, it's just easier to do it with the coach than it is the players, sad as it might sound.
What did he do that got under the player's skin? Did he just ride him on the bench, or was it away from the ice?
I think
what?
The consistency of him, his demands, and you can hear him, back, shoot it, yelling at him. That's it. You can hear him, but again, it's just after a while when you're not having success, you're a pro athlete, you turn around and react. It's a hard game in the NHL. I mean, and I think there's times where the obvious were overstated and the players would react. And I also think that some of them, Vladdy can't come to the bench shaking his head like nobody can make a play, whether it's he's mad at himself or whoever. The optics are terrible. And And Berge can't come and smack his stick across the boards and react because he's frustrated with himself. You know, even when he was going, you know, Berge's been going pretty good here, but he's one of those guys, he takes it inside to himself and he wants to do more. He's a competitive guy. So when the coach jumps on you on top of you being hard on yourself, you know, it's combustible sometimes and it's combusted.
Kelly Chase, brought to you by Petromart here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Ken Hitchcock, relieved of his duties as Blues head coach within the last 45 minutes. Mike Yeo takes over. Tomorrow night, quite a significant night in Blues history as Bob Plager will be honored. The number 5 lifted to the rafters with his name on it, never to be worn again by any other great Blues players who have worn it. And the first night of the Mike Yeo era as well, against the Toronto Maple Leafs. That'll be a pretty significant night tomorrow night, Chaser.
It'll be pretty important to me, I know that. I mean, Bobby's been like a father to me. Him and Patty Janelle, the responsible guys for me being a St. Louis Blue. I've known him my entire, you know, career, and he's helped me with so many different things. I relish being around him. I'm telling you, I can't think of a guy that's more, you know, it's more fit for than Bobby's 50 years of service. There's nothing he hasn't done in the organization. He knows where all the skeletons are that have ever happened as a St. Louis Blue. And I got to tell you, he's nervous about it, but he knows it's serious. He's so honored by it. Like, if you talk to him, he's so proud of the fact and just so in awe of the fact that they would think enough to retire his number. It's almost comical. Like, he doesn't understand why is everything, feels just like he's been blessed. And that, to me, I think is the opposite. I think the Blues are so lucky to have a guy, and for all he's done for the community, for the team, and what he's done for people, I'm so happy for him. I know the guys are starting to roll in from his team that he coached in the minors. They're coming in, the guys that he played with, the friends of his, they're all coming into town. I'm excited for Bobby. He's just, he means a lot to the Chase family. The boys call him Uncle Bob, and my sons, and I'm grateful that he's around it's going to be fun.
Well, it starts tonight. Chase will be part of Heritage Night, an evening with Bobby Plager tonight at Patty O's. Doors open at the Scott Trade Center at 5:30 on Thursday night, and Bobby's number retirement ceremony will commence at 6:30 p.m., a very significant 48 hours here, both for the past and future of the St. Louis Blues, with the decision this morning to let go of Ken Hitchcock and also paying homage to a great 50 years. Bob Plager, tonight and tomorrow at the Scott Trade Center. Chaser, always appreciate the time. Thanks for jumping on a little earlier with us.
Hey, boys, just in case, you talked about the significance of the next 48 hours, and I don't know if you're following this vote downtown for the renovation of Scott Trade either.
Oh, yeah.
But you want to talk about something that's important, the vote tonight. They had a setback yesterday on the vote, and they're very similar situation to the soccer stadium. I can't imagine how city councilors are not voting for the upgrade of what, you know, the St. Louis Blues have spent $500 million of private money, of owner's money, on the Keel Auditorium since it's been constructed in 94. And here they are again looking to put a lot of their own money and everything into the upgrades. If we don't, I mean, we've been around the league. We know where we sit as far as a facility, and you know, it'll be terrible for everybody downtown and what it generates for businesses and jobs and everything. I just can't imagine them not getting the renovations for all that they've done to keep hockey here. I'm shocked at what happened yesterday, and I would hope that tonight, you know, that there's enough, I guess, enough, the vote certainly, but enough of a realization of how important that building is to downtown community, and not just Blues events, but all events. We're losing out to a lot of cities and a lot of NCAA stuff and a lot of different things just because of what is, you know, it's aged. It's And I hope that you guys are doing a little following of that, because we sure could use the support there.
Oh, it has been a focal point of the show, sir. We've had more aldermen on in the last week than I think in the previous 15 years or 14 years of the show. So it has been a focal point of the topic.
I suggested possibly calling Twister.
Tony Twist will be called into action.
Maybe he could go downtown and settle some things for us.
That's not a bad idea.
You want him to fight the alderman?
No, it's just the threat of having him stand.
A little intimidation.
Yeah.
All right. I don't imagine you'd have to fight, but more of a Ray Donovan effect.
You know? Oh, yeah. I like the Ray Donovan effect. Chaser, appreciate it, man.
See you, boys.
Kelly Chase, brought to you by Petromart.
That was your Blues Report with Kelly Chase, fueled by Petromart. Stop by your locally owned and operated Petromart location to register for your chance to win a 50th anniversary Bud Light Blues mirror, courtesy of Petromart. Start all your pregame festivities at Petromart, a proud sponsor of your St. Louis Blues and a proud supplier of Phillips 66 gasoline. Petromart, clean, fast, and friendly.
So Bradley, immediately following the news, Ken Hitchcock has been fired. Mike Gill replacing him, and then Kelly Chase. I know Cam Jansen is going to be with us. Cam Jansen of the Lion Chain is going to be with us here on the program. And the Seamaster is back there doing what the Seamaster does, working on getting his guests.
I remember early on when Chase said this team doesn't have an identity. And then I heard other people parroting that in the weeks following, and that stayed with me because, you know, you think about it.
Seems obvious now when someone throws that
but
out
he
there.
Saw this,
yeah, that's the problem.
He saw it early on, you know, and we all know they lose their big guys and, you know, that did the hard work in front of the goal when you needed scoring, that something was going to have to change, but it never really developed. And Chase was the first guy, even when things were going pretty well, said he didn't see an identity.
They just haven't really looked like the Blues, especially just kind of since the Winter Classic. These last several games, you look at them just waiting for something to go wrong, waiting for a soft goal to go in.
It almost seems like they are, too. Like, they kind of anticipate the worst, the players a little bit.
Yeah.
That's the way things go when you're in a bad stretch.
Yeah. I think they're a lot better team than what they've shown here in the last two or three weeks. At least they were for the first half of the season, anyway. They were much better than they've been here lately. I'm not sure exactly why they've fell apart. I don't think it's just the goaltending. It's certainly got something to do with it. But it hasn't just been that.
No,
there have been games when they've given up four or five goals, and every one you say, well, the goalie didn't have much of a chance on that one.
Defense hasn't been great, but, you know, the folks that say burn it down and start over, right now they're in the playoffs. That's what you fight for.
Couple of pieces of news and notes on the Blues and Hitchcock. Luke Korak now just tweeted that goaltending coach Jim Corsi was fired as well. So that happening in addition, and Frank Cusimano texting me that we are going to be carrying the press conference live here on 590 The Fan KFNS, courtesy of KSDK.com. So that will be at 10 as well. So I can't go into the 10 o'clock hour into Frank's show today reading emails from the Shrewsbury Seminary student because we're going to have the press conference live.
Okay. Well, I'm glad. It'd be interesting to hear what Doug Armstrong has to say.
There'll be a lot of people disappointed that they're not hearing from Shrewsy, however. So, you know, it's one of those, you can't please everybody.
Yet you try.
You try to do that, but, you know, much of, I know the Shrewsbury area in particular will say, where's Shrewsy?
Well, maybe he should hold a news conference at 9.
Right.
And we can carry that live. I don't want to throw a curveball at you.
Certainly would. I'm sure we would.
If he wanted to, we would.
Yeah. He's a newsmaker.
That way we'd hear from all the parties involved. Armstrong at 10. Shrewsy at 9.
And I think not just the Shrewsbury Seminary student, but I would expect the Shrewsbury Butter Squirrel to be there as well.
Yeah, all of Shrewsbury. Guys, I think Hitch knew last night he lingered around the bench after the game. It's from the 314. Anybody notice that?
I didn't.
Doug, and you've made it a habit of watching.
Lingering? No.
I watched his post-game presser on Fox Sports Midwest, and I didn't see any tells that he knew, but maybe he did. I don't think it was apparent.
See what Cam Jansen thinks. You can hear him every day from 4 to 7 here on 590 The Fan, KFNS, with the line change, and he joins us right now. Cam, your thoughts on Ken Hitchcock, fired.
Well, I woke up this morning around 8 o'clock, which is late for me, and I looked down on my phone, and I had 52 missed text messages. So it's like somebody either died or somebody got fired. and it was Coach Hitchcock. And after that game last night, I probably could have called that. You could just see the look on his face. Although you did see the look on that face, that same look millions of times this year already, and he hasn't got fired. But this is the last straw. The guys aren't playing for him anymore. And when the guys don't play for you anymore, you got to go. And it's unfortunate, but it's completely necessary.
I'm not asking you to name names, but obviously you're still close to some of the guys on the team. Kelly Chase just said, you know, pretty much what you said, that the message was getting lost on the players after all this time. Did you hear that firsthand, that that maybe there was some sort of connection problem between the team and Hitch at this point?
I didn't need to hear that firsthand, although I did hear things, don't get me wrong. But you could just tell. You could tell on the ice. I mean, you could tell that they weren't playing for him. They weren't really playing for each other. They weren't really playing for anybody. I mean, they go through these spurts where they look excellent, and then all of a sudden a little bit of adversity, and they just absolutely collapse, collectively collapse as a team. And it's just it's weird to watch. It really is. And we could pinpoint different players for different things, which I like to do because I always put the onus on the players one way or the other. But this is extremely obvious, and you could see it occurring over the past couple of months and even, like, really past year or two, that they just kind of, yeah, they play well in the regular season, and then in the playoffs they kind of just collapse a little bit. And although last year was somewhat of an anomaly, they had a great team last year. I mean, they had a great powerhouse team last year. But again, you don't have to have the inside scoop to tell that the guys just stop playing for the man. And that just happens. That happens all the time. That happens in hockey. That happens in football. But you just got to seal it up as quickly as possible when you notice that kind of thing. And I think the Blues, they figured it out, and they're like, okay, enough's enough here. Let's see. We still got time to get this thing turned around, so let's make this happen now and go and move forward.
So now that they have switched out the head coach, do you think that will be enough to maybe get something going? Or, I mean, we all know that they have talent.
I think so, Jimmy. Like, look, you need something. You need a change of scenery. You need a change of pace. You need something drastic to happen in this case. And that is exactly what needed to happen, in my opinion. It's the meetings. It's everything. It's just a whole clean slate now. And honestly, mentally, for all the guys on the team, they're probably like, whew, okay, let's start over. Mike, yo, what do you got for us? Okay, you know our group. You know our team. You know our leadership. You know what we're missing. You know what we need to do. Take this over. What do you got? Here we go. That's the kind of mentality I think that the boys are going to have right now. Just more of a clean slate. Let's get this thing going. We got time. We got a huge fan base, which is the most important year of Blues history, in my opinion. One of the most important years in Blues history. Let's turn this damn thing around. We got time. Let's go.
For people who didn't play at a high level like that, it might be hard to understand how guys kind of stop playing. I don't want to say they stop playing, but just don't play with the same enthusiasm that they once did. I mean, you're out there on the ice for 30 seconds at a time, and you can't play hard. How does that happen?
Well, it's like you go out there and you try to play hard, but the system that you're playing, maybe you're just your structure isn't there, and then all of a sudden you mess a play up, and then Hitch yells at you. And under your breath, you go tell him to F himself. And then now you're out of the game. And now you go out there, you try to do the same structure, and you're like, well, no, this isn't working. Then that sits in the back of your head. And then you're MFing him under your in the back of your head. So you're thinking about him while you're trying to think about playing, and you're thinking about the structure, why it's not working. Then Allen lets a goal in. And then you're just all frustrated. Listen, it's just a collective. It's a bunch of things that collect over the course of a game. And some of the stuff you could brush off, and some of the stuff you just can't, and it just lingers with you. It's a mental game. It is. And when you're not playing for your coach, it breaks you down mentally. And you could just tell. It's actually kind of hard to explain, but if you watch a game, you could point out different scenarios. You're like, good God. And it drives you crazy. You know, last night they had another too many men penalty. I don't know if any of you guys noticed that. I had to stop. I'm like, wait a minute. I rewound it. I go, Kate, was there six men on the ice again? And she's like, I don't think so. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't get called, right? That one didn't get called.
Did you notice that? Scotty Upshaw again, actually. But it's not his fault. That's the coach. So that's just little things. What? How many? That would have been 12 too many men penalties.
what the hell is going on that bench? That's nobody else's fault but the head coach there. And that's just a little thing, okay? And obviously it's not all on Ken Hitchcock. The boys need to play. But just little things like that. I mean, there's another, again, another too many men penalty for no damn reason at all. That could have really turned the game, and they really wouldn't have had a chance. Obviously, they lost last night, but it just wouldn't have helped anything. And you could just tell there's chaos on the bench, and there's your example right there.
What kind of thing exactly does a coach yell when it's time to change or for somebody to get off? What does he have to say so that everybody can communicate and know what the game plan is?
Jimmy, get off the ice.
That's it?
No, look.
He's calling line changes, right?
Yeah. Well, you'll be like, you know, Steiner's line's up. Okay, who's next? Oh, Revo. Revo going right with Steiner's line. Revo going right with, I don't know. Look, there's all kinds of things he could say and do. But he is definitely in control of that, of the line changes. He's definitely in control of that bench, and he needs to be. And when there's chaos on the bench, it boils down to he's in control. Okay, he's in control, and then he controls the leaders, and the leaders control the bench, and it goes down like that, a triple effect. And when he's off his game, it just affects everybody. But, yeah, he's calling the lines. I mean, yeah, he's not doing the D, but really he is. He's doing everything. I mean, he's in complete control. But he'll call guys in and off. You know how many times he switched the lines up last night? I mean, he was just trying for something to click. The lines were just switched all over the damn place, and it's tough. You know, you're getting switched all over the place on a line. There's no connection with your line mates. You don't know who's up and who's going with who. And that's another reason why they probably got too many men penalties all the time, because they're switching the lines up all the time because they're usually losing that game. And when you're losing, you switch the lines, and then guys get discombobulated. And then you get a two-minute men penalty.
Do you think that there are going to be major changes in terms of system or the way that Hitch normally structures the lines and defensive pairings?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, they have to. It's not working. I mean, it's whatever they're doing, their style right now is just not working. But then again, you could change your style. You could change your structure. You could change everything you want. You can't change what people are thinking in their heads. And if they're not working for you, you can't do anything to change that unless you light a spark on their ass. But I don't know how much more you can be. Look, there's a lot on the line for these guys. I just really hope they understand this is a big deal to make the playoffs this year. I don't know how much more of a spark you need under your ass. Do I need to go down there and give them a little pep talk?
Yes.
Yes. It's firing me up. But look, yeah, they're going to have to change some things around. But the guys are going to are all going to collectively have to buy in and collectively get control of this damn thing and move forward with it. So, you could change all the systems up you want, which they're going to do. They're going to fix a couple of things. But really, the boys need to play, okay? The boys need to play.
The words of Kelly Chase were even more specific than that, Cam. He cited some of the older guys, as he called them, having to lift their spirits when they're out on the ice. That the negativity was clear in the body language, and those guys now are going to have to step up their leadership role. Do you feel like that's an issue?
I've been saying this for months now. The core group needs to take this team over. Alexander Steen, Petrangelo, Schwartzy and Pauly Stastny. I mean, really, really, really. Really just those, just Pauly, Stas, Steiner, Petro, guys like that, honest to God, need to step up. I'm watching their, and I know they're all different kinds of players, and you can't tell Paul Stastny to go out there and play a mean game or whatever, but there's no expression on their face ever. I mean, there really is, and there's no passion. I don't see it. And that's not them as a whole or as a person. But as a leader, you need to show something. You need to show me something. I'm watching 26 out there last night, and I can't get anything out of him. I'm like, okay, he's not really skating hard. Yeah, he makes pretty good plays here and there. He's good on faceoffs, but what else do you got? There's no passion. There's no emotion. There's no emotion from our leaders at all. That's a big deal when you're a young kid and your leaders don't show any passion or emotion on the bench. And I know Petro's trying. But it's just tough. It's tough to connect. It's tough to get riled up whenever your leaders really aren't that way either. they need to take the bull by the horns. And Alexander Steen, I mean, he's skating a little bit harder now, but I've been hard on him quite a bit. But I should be. He's making a lot of money. He's the leader of that damn team, and the team's in shambles right now. So, yes, you can blame the coach. You fire Hitch. Where is the leadership of this damn group? We've been talking about this for months. Where is it? I want to see it. I want to see it in the locker room. I want to see it on the ice. I want to see it in their face. I want to see it in their play.
Cam Jansen, you will hear more from Cam and his crew coming up from 4 to 7 today on the Line Change. We will have the Doug Armstrong and Mike Gill press conference live here on 590 The Fan and on InsideSTL.com at 10 a.m. courtesy of KSTK.com. Cam, thanks for jumping on with us on short notice with this breaking news. We appreciate it, man.
Cool, guys. See you, dudes.
Cam Jansen with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. We got a break. Reed Lowe is going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour, plus your Hot Shots email of the day. Submissions the morning after at InsideSTL.com. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning.